Welcome to the Rock Church Podcast. This is Amanda. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are a church family that exists to love God, love people, and do something about it. If you would like to learn more about us, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to your app store and search rockc3 for our app. This is the second week of our series called Island Life, and this week Pastor Clay Finkley explains that you're not going to be perfect in this life, but you can be Christ-like. Enjoy the message.
Hey, how's everybody doing? My name's Clay. I'm one of the pastors on staff. I just want to welcome you. Thank you so much for being here, whether you're here in person or online joining us. We're excited to have you here with us. And let's just give it up for everybody that's joining us online real quick. Yeah, we love you guys. Thank you guys. And if you're new here, make sure you stop by the Connect Corner. As you heard, we'd love to connect with you that way. And I'm just unbelievably excited for this series. I don't know if you guys know this. The Hawaiian shirt thing, very true. So much so that this graphic that was created by our creative team was actually every single one of those prints was pulled from one of my Hawaiian shirts. So, for example, this orange one right here is right here. You can see the house right there. So, like, my shirts are the graphics. I am obsessed with Hawaiian shirts. I absolutely love it. And I'm just so excited for today. I'm excited for this series. And I'm really excited for this week because this week we have something incredible that's happening Monday through Wednesday night here at our Conway location. But it's for everybody that is middle school age. We are having our middle school summer camp called The Three starting tomorrow night from 6:30 to 10 p.m. all three nights. And it's going to be incredible. We've got inflatables. We've got paint wars we're going to do. We have a glow-in-the-dark night. We're going to play glow-in-the-dark dodgeball. We're going to play laser tag. We got all sorts of incredible things happening right here at this building. So if you have a middle schooler, make sure they are here for those three nights. It's going to be the best week of their entire summer. I promise you that. And we have a bunch of protocols in place from social distancing and cleaning, all that. So everything is as good as it can possibly be. And we are just very, very excited about it. So make sure that you are here for that event if you have a middle schooler. Don't let them miss that. But as I'm excited for that event, I'm also excited for today and what we are talking about, because you've heard a little bit about this series, and this series is all about John, and he's writing a letter that's teaching people how to really live. And last week, we talked about how to live a different life, and today, we are talking about how to actually live life. And right now, I feel like I'm living one of my best life. I mean, I feel like every single day is walking into vacation. And I love vacation. And I'm not even going to ask you guys if you guys love vacation. What I am going to ask at all of our campuses, online included, go ahead and raise your hand. How many of you guys feel like you need a vacation? Anybody feel like they need a vacation right now? Okay, most of the room. Yeah, we always feel like we need vacations. And I love vacation because it's like my favorite time of the entire year with me and Katie. We just go away. It's refreshing. It's relaxing. We have fun. We go on adventures. It's the absolute best. But I've also noticed that I have a bad problem of putting a lot of pressure on myself during vacation to try to make it perfect. And this trying to make it perfect really almost breaks me down during vacation, because I just want everything to go so well, because I know how important that week is for me. And I actually know that I am not alone in this juncture, because one of the things me and Katie love to do is we love to go to Disney World or Universal on our vacation. We always go to Florida, and those two parks are about an hour away, so we always make our way over there. And our favorite thing to do at those camps is actually to people watch. Anybody else love people watching? People watching is the best. Now, you'll see lots of interesting, weird things at Disney World, and you'll see lots of interesting things at Universal. But one thing you'll definitely notice is parents trying to do the most impossible thing in the history of the world, which is to throw the perfect vacation for their family. And on the surface, you think like, oh, Disney World, that is the perfect family vacation, until you really start to break down what that week actually looks like. First of all, it's a bazillion degrees because it's in the middle of Florida. So it's super hot and everybody's tired. Then you have the fact that kids will come up to you at the Disney store and they're like, hey, can we get this $150 stuffed Winnie the Pooh? And you're like, absolutely not. And then your spouse looks at you and just goes, it's vacation. And then you're broke, right? And then following that, you try to get the perfect picture in front of the castle, and you're like, you finally got it lined up. It's a perfect shot. It's a perfect image. And somebody walks in front of the camera. every single time. And then there's the issue where, you know, you're putting sunblock on the kids, but you forgot to put sunblock on yourself, and you are just fried, and it is toasty. And then last but certainly not least, you wait in line for 3 hours with your kid to ride a ride, and you get right to the front of the ride, and they say, hey, I have to go to the bathroom, and you just wasted 2.5 hours of your life. Like, this is the real issue. Like, it is hard to have the perfect vacation at Disney. And what ends up happening, and there's a famous ride at Disney World called It's a Small World. And it's a very creepy ride where a bunch of little puppet characters are going, it's a small world after all, it's a small world, and over and over and over and over again. And it's really, really creepy. But as I'm watching, I'm like, oh, this is interesting. But then you really start to watch the parents who are riding the ride with their kids, and you'll notice that they are kind of having the mental breakdown during this time frame. They're having the breakdown from the pressure to be perfect, and they're just sitting there in the boat just going, it's a small world after all, it's a small world after all, and they just have this breakdown. You're like, oh, I feel so bad for you. I feel so bad for you, because it's tough to be perfect. It's tough to have the perfect vacation. It's tough to have the perfect life. It's tough to have the perfect post. It's tough to have the perfect family. It's tough to be the perfect spouse. It's tough to be the perfect friend. And we feel like we have to be this perfect person because of the social media world that we live in, where people are always seeing other people's best things. So we feel like we have to be at our best all the time. And I actually think that's true when it comes to faith as well. Because one thing that you do when you have faith is you read the Bible, and you stay in his word, and as you read his word, you'll focus on a perfect character in the Bible, and that is Jesus. The entire book is focused on Jesus, and he is perfect. So you see this thing of perfect right in front of your face this whole time, and then you also read about all these people who did these incredible things, and you compare yourself, just like you do with social media posts, and you start to just feel awful about yourself, and you put this pressure on you to be perfect. And then you read this from 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, which tells us how we should live as Christ followers. It says, my dear children, I am writing this so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of all the world. And we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. This is where it gets real intense. If someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him. This week is all about how we should live life following Jesus. That's the entire focus of this week. And if we're basing the life following Jesus off of that scripture, that standard seems impossible. Because if we're following that standard, we basically have to be Jesus. And you guys know as well as I do, that is very difficult because Jesus is kind of a good guy, right? It's a challenging thing. So the tension point that we're dealing with today is this question. How do you live as a Christ follower when perfect seems impossible? How do you live as a Christ follower when perfect seems impossible? That standard, it doesn't seem like we can meet it. But today, I hope to give you three things and three ways that we can live up to that standard of living a life like Jesus. And I think this is a powerful week for anybody, because if you don't have faith, then you are going to be able to see what a life following Jesus should look like. If you're new in faith, if you maybe last week, you know, we talked about a different life, you were like, man, I need to change my life. This is a great way for you to start putting those habits in. And if you have been a longtime faith person, this is a great time for you to go, okay, here's a nice refresher for me. So how do you live life as a Christ follower when perfect seems impossible? The first thing you do, know your purpose. 1 John 2:6 says this, those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Our purpose is simple. Live a life like Jesus so that we can glorify God by helping others know who he is. And if anybody understood why this is important, it is John. Because John got a firsthand experience of what Jesus' life looked like on mission with a purpose. John saw Jesus loving people, serving people, walking this earth, being a normal guy, hurting, feeling pain, performing miracles, leading people, loving people, dying on the cross, raising from the dead, empowering the early church. John got the best seat in the house to the greatest person of influence in the history of the world. He saw something that would just blow our minds. And Jesus was able to live that life here on earth because from the very beginning of time to the very end of time, Jesus knows his purpose. He knows exactly what he's supposed to do, and it's that same way for John. Just as Jesus was called to a life of purpose, John was called to a life of purpose as well. There's a really cool story in Mark chapter 3 where Jesus calls John and his brother James, and he ends up calling them this really cool word. And it's a Greek word, and I failed out of my foreign language class in high school, so I'm going to mispronounce this, but hey, forgive me, okay? But the Greek word that he uses is boanerges. Boanerges. Completely guessing on how to pronounce that. I talked to a guy on our staff who studies linguistics, and we're going to try our best to get through it. But what that word means is sons of thunder. Like, Jesus basically just comes up to James and John and is like, you will be Thor. Sons of thunder. Like, if Jesus came up to me and was like, you, son of thunder, I'd be like, I might not look like Thor. Katie might wish I did, but I'm going to do the best I possibly can to make this happen, right? And it's this wild thing. Like, it's a really cool name to be called, but I think it sums up John's life so well and his purpose so well. John was called to come in and make a loud difference. And he did that. He communicated the gospel. He took care of Jesus' mother. He was a pillar of the early church, and now he's exiled to this island because of his faith. John knew his purpose was to follow Jesus in everything that he did so that God could be glorified by helping others know who he is. And that same purpose that was given to John and that was given to Jesus is given to you as well. Now, if I could say it this way, it might just felt like I just picked up a basketball, hit you with a chest pass, and said, hey, play some basketball. Go be LeBron James. Go be MJ. And you might be saying, Click, that's impossible. I can't do that. I can't be LeBron. I can't be MJ. I can't be John. I can't be Jesus. You might not be able to be LeBron, but you can still play basketball. You might not be able to love people as well as Jesus did, but you can still love people. You might not be able to perform miracles, but you can still serve people. You might not be able to make the rocks cry out in praise, but you can still sing songs of praise. You might not be able to die on the cross for all of humanity, but you can still stand up for people that are hurting. Do you see what I'm saying here? Jesus had a mission of glorifying God through his life. John had a mission of glorifying God through his life. We have a mission of glorifying God through our life. That is our purpose. And the effectiveness and the exact way we do it might look a little bit different, but the method is still the same. It's to love God. It's to love people and do something about it. It's simple. We just got to keep doing that over and over and over again. That is what we are here on earth to do so that God can be glorified by others knowing who he is. And today I want you to know that you have a purpose. God has called you to do something. He's given you unique gifts and abilities to pull that off, to do that with him. So how do you live as a Christ follower when perfect seems impossible? The first thing you do is know your purpose. But that's where it gets really hard. Because I know there's a lot of us that feel called to do something, but we just can't pull it off. And why is that? It's because we let worldly pleasures get in our way. So the second thing we got to do is we got to ignore worldly pleasures. 1 John 2:15 and 16 says this, do not love this world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. Talks about cravings right here. And if I had a guess, we all understand this idea of cravings. Like you, like me, you've probably stood in front of the mirror one morning and said, oop, I do not like what I see, right? Has anybody else done that? Yeah. Okay, don't raise your hand on that. That hurts. But you've probably stood in front of the mirror and said, you know what? Diet starts today. changed my life today. It's happening. This is the day that I'm doing it. And you go to work, and your coworker brings in donuts. And you're like, you know what? I'm good. I'll fight off the craving. I'm being healthy. Life is good. And then it comes to lunchtime, and your coworker comes up to you. He's like, hey, we're going to order out for lunch. Do you want anything? And you're like, you know what? I'm good. I don't need it. We're fine. I brought my lunch. Life's good. You get home from work, and it's been a long day, and you got to make dinner, but you're kind of hungry now. So you open up the pantry, and you're like, no, you know what? I'm gonna wait for dinner. I'm going to have a nice, healthy dinner. And you finally eat dinner. It's a nice, healthy dinner. You've done a great job all day. And you finally have time to sit in front of the TV. And what do? You turn on Food Network, and you let Guy Fieri take you to Flavortown. Like you were like, all right, here we go. And the next thing you know, a commercial pops up, and it's a Taco Bell commercial. And you find out they just came out with a grilled cheese burrito. And that's a real thing, which is amazing. And that's the craving that broke you. Because next thing you know, you're sitting on the couch, you're completely laid out, you're tired, you're exhausted, you got Doritos, Locos, Tacos, crust, shell, dust all over your face, and you are begging for some Tums because you caved to your cravings. Okay, that wasn't my Friday night. I'm going to promise that. But we understand this idea. Cravings always seem to get the best of us. And what do when the cravings get the best of us? Say, oh, diet starts on Monday. And it's in my opinion that we have way too much of a diet starts on Monday type of faith. Where what we crave now beats out what we want later. For a lot of us, what we want now forces us to push what God wants for us to later. And I really do believe people have good intentions, just like they want to be healthy. But the cravings, they can just get the best of us. Because while we want a long Christ-like life, we crave that short-term satisfaction. And we have to notice this, because if we don't, our cravings will consume us. If we don't notice this, our cravings will consume us. And I think John seemed to understand this really well at this point of his life. He is on this island. He has no other choice but to fully depend on God and fight off those cravings, because he's got nothing to crave. He's on this island. He's stuck on this island. But I'd also guess he's saying this because of firsthand experience. Think about the group of guys that he was with, the disciples. Think about Judas, who said he wanted to follow Jesus. He followed Jesus, followed Jesus, followed Jesus. And then there was cravings of money, and there was cravings of wanting things done his way. And he caved. And John said, I don't want that to happen to you. I don't want that for your life. Don't let the same thing happen to you. I know you want to lash out at that coworker, but that's a worldly pleasure. I know you want that drink, but that's a worldly pleasure. I know you want to post that thing on Facebook, but that's a worldly pleasure. I know you want that power position at your job, and you can get it by going behind people's back, but don't. That's a worldly pleasure. I know you want that relationship. Let me tell you, that's definitely a worldly pleasure. And it's not worth it because it's something that fades away. It's something that disappears. It's something that goes away with the wind. Look what this next verse says. It says, and this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. Hear me on this. Momentary satisfaction does not give your life meaning. Momentary satisfaction does not give your life meaning. The secret thing about sin is most of the time, you feel really sad after doing it. And the reason you feel really sad after doing it is because you're not living the way that God designed for you to live your life, and you are spiritually fading away. And like eating that Taco Bell and begging for some Tums, we are a people that we make these spiritual mistakes, and we are begging for some spiritual Tums because our life isn't going the way we want it. We think that relationship is going to give us the love that we desire, but it's not going to. We think that drug is going to help us forget, but it's not going to. We think that job is going to give us that position, that authority that we want, but it's not going to. We think that those experiences are going to give us the meaning that we want. It's not going to. Worldly cravings make you think you're going to have a better life. Jesus actually gives you a better life. And he's able to do that because he came down here on earth and he ignored worldly pleasures. He fought against the worldly pleasure. He said, I'm good. I don't need that. I have a bigger purpose. He didn't let his pleasures get in the way of his purpose. And I'm asking you the same thing today. Don't let your pleasures get in the way of your purpose, because God's got something big for you. So how do we do that? How do we go from knowing our purpose to having our worldly pleasures get in the way? Brings us to the third thing that we got to do. And it's do what pleases God every single day. You have to do what pleases him. And what pleases him is bringing him glory and living according to his word. So do what pleases God. And the good news is that he has given us everything that we need to do that. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says this. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. We just need to do it. And doing what pleases God takes an incredible amount of discipline. And that's what's always struck me about who Jesus is and what he's done. I think it's easy to look at Jesus on the macro level and the big level and say, wow, look at all these amazing things that he did, which he did, and they were amazing. What impresses me the most is the fact that he did it every single day of his life. When he could have turned away from us and said, you know what? Heaven's way better than earth. I'm going to go up there. No, he chose to be down here with us. When we turned against him and said, hey, we're going to kill you, he could have said, you know what? You're done with me. I'm done with you. And then he could have left. Or he, when people were following him like crazy, he could have fallen to pride and said, you know what? I am the man. I'm going to do exactly what I want to do, just like you guys are telling me to do. But he didn't do it because he wanted people to experience eternity. And 1 John 2:17, the second part of the verse says this, but anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. If you do what pleases God, you will live forever. And I believe that doing what pleases God is a decision. You can make that decision just like John made that decision. John made that decision to serve. He made the decision to follow Jesus. He made the decision to be a pillar of the early church. He made the decision to stay true to God during this exile. And you can make a decision today to serve. You can make a decision today to follow him. You can make a decision to love people. You can make a decision to be generous. You can make a decision to tithe. You can make a decision to help those who are in need. And you make that decision every single day. And I promise you, if you do that day after day after day, then you can live a Christ-like life. There's a great story that I read when I was younger. If you don't know me, I love golf. Huge, huge, huge golf fan. And one of my favorite golfers is Phil Mickelson, and old lefty. And I was reading a biography about him when I was younger. And there was the story that stuck out to me. Phil was a teenager, and he had his family over for Thanksgiving. The entire family came over. It was a big, big day. And at some point during that day, Phil actually snuck away. And everybody kind of realized he was gone at a certain point. Everybody started freaking out a little bit and trying to go like, hey, well, where's he at? What's going on? Where's he at? Like, they're calling people, trying to figure out where he is. And all of a sudden, his mom kind of had an epiphany and was like, I bet I know where he's at. She hops in the car. She drives to the golf course. And as she's pulling up, she sees Phil on the driving range hitting ball after ball after ball after ball. And at this point, Phil's mom comes up to him and is like, Phil, what are you doing? It's Thanksgiving. Why are you doing this? Why are you hitting right now? He said, I read a quote recently. It said, every day I don't practice is one day longer until I reach greatness. And I want to be clear here. There's not an end point to Christianity. There's not an I made it point to Christianity. There's not a point where you read your Bible enough times. There's not a point where you go to church or pray enough times. But there is a point, there is a life that pleases God. And a life that pleases God is living a Christ-like life. And if you decide to make a life that pleases God, your daily decision over and over again, I'm not going to promise you greatness, but I am going to promise you a great life. Which brings us back to our original question. How do you live as a Christ follower when perfect seems impossible? You live a Christ-like life. by knowing your purpose, by ignoring worldly pleasure, and by doing what pleases God. If Jesus was our perfect example, then let's try to live like him. So as we enter a time of response today, I want to take it back to Disney. Because when I think about Disney, and I think about that story, and I think about what the concept of having the perfect family vacation, I'm like, man, that just seems impossible. And in a lot of ways, it is. Someone's going to mess up. Someone's going to cry. Someone's not going to go perfect. But what happens at the end of every one of those vacations? Everybody goes, man, best trip ever. Best vacation ever. That was awesome. Those memories are incredible. This was the life that this was the life, man. I loved living here. It was great. It's that same concept when it comes to our faith. You might feel an incredible amount of pressure to live perfectly when you decide to follow Jesus. And the reality is, you won't live a perfect life. You're gonna mess up. And that's okay because of Jesus. Jesus died on the cross to give us grace, to give us mercy, so that we could have a life with him. And I want you to know this today. You won't be perfect. You won't be perfect. But you can be Christ-like. Jesus, he's already handled being Christ. He's already handled being the Messiah. He's already handled being the Savior. Your focus is to become more like him. That's the kind of life that we should be trying to live. And there's tons of ways that you can do that today. For some of you that is knowing your purpose, maybe for the very first time today, you're recognizing that God's called you to a life with him. And you're saying, you know what? I got to take that step. And if that's you in here, if that's what you want, the step that you want to take, if that's something you're saying, I got to do that. Man, just have a little moment between you and God right here. Just pray to him and say, Jesus, I'm hearing this purpose that you're calling to me. I'm choosing to follow you. Maybe for some of you, it's time for you to start ignoring worldly pleasures. One way you can do that is getting baptized, because baptism is a symbol of you going from death to life, just like Jesus did. And you can say, I'm done living my old life. I'm ready to live this new life. I'm ready to live differently. I'm ready to live a better life. And you might be saying, I didn't bring clothes. I didn't do any of that. It's okay. We got clothes back there for you. Our baptism team is ready to roll right now with you. Or maybe it's time for you to start doing a life that pleases God. Maybe it's time for you to start stepping up and serving. If you want to get teamed up, I'll be standing in the Connect Room. I would love to talk to you about that. Maybe it's loving your neighbor. Maybe it's forgiving someone. There's something that we can all do. And I believe if you live that kind of life, I can't help but know that at the end of your life, just like John did, that you're going to go, man, my life was awesome. My life was great. And I want other people to experience the same exact life. So let's do that. Let's respond that way. If you want to talk to anybody, we'll be out at the Connect Corner. We're going to go into a time of worship after this. If you want to get baptized, we got that available. So if you guys would do me a favor, go ahead and stand with me and pray as we enter a time of response. Jesus, thank you for the example you've given us. Thank you for knowing your purpose. Thank you for ignoring worldly pleasure. Thank you for doing what pleases God. Lord, I know we're not going to be perfect, but I pray that we're all Christ-like, because that's how we live when perfect seems impossible. Lord, today give us the answer of how we need to respond, and then give us the courage to respond that way. Lord, we love you and we thank you. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you would like more information on how to give to God through The Rock, you can find that on our app or on our website. Another way that you can give to us is simply by subscribing to this podcast, rating it, telling your friends about it. All those things are super helpful. We hope you have a great week.